Paul, in this chapter, beginning there at the 11th verse, makes expression of his feeling towards these Christian people that were at Rome. He says, I long to see you. I longed to see. He missed them. He loved them. And one reason why he longed to see them was that he wanted to impart unto them a spiritual gift. He wanted to see them grow in the grace and the truth of God. That is, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. And I think to be established means to be rooted and grounded in the faith. That is, he says in verse 12, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And I think he's talking about the gift of faith. God granted unto Paul the gift of faith to repent and to believe. No man by nature can repent and believe unless he has been made a recipient of the gift of faith and the gift of repentance. So Paul recognized that these people that he's writing to had the gift of faith and repentance because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and their repentance manifested itself in their life and experience and in their good works. So he recognized that. He said, with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Well, we can draw from that the truth that no man can please God apart from faith in his dearly beloved Son. And I'm reminded of that portion of Scripture that says, without Christ, without me, he said, you can do nothing. And faith is the gift of God that joins us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our salvation. And without being connected to him, nothing is blessed or recognized but God. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purpose to come unto you. I want you to know that it was my desire, it was my purpose and will that I come to you, impart to you some spiritual gift, but was let hitherto, but was hindered, I was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, and both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, all of me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. First and foremost is the preaching of the gospel. Preaching of the gospel is of several things, but it's to preach Christ and Him crucified. And Paul, in this following verse, says he's not ashamed of it. He's, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, there can be no salvation apart from the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And if the gospel is not preached, then there's no power of God unto salvation. It's important that the gospel be preached, the gospel of free and sovereign grace. And it's got to be preached. It's a must. It's a necessity. And I know that the nature of religion nowadays in this 20th century, or the end of the 20th century, is, you know, is just a... of believing and accepting Jesus, and there's no gospel preached. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. Paul seemed to have a responsibility to the Jews, and he was an apostle to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles or to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. That God demands righteousness, and righteousness is provided in the gospel. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus, which is imputed to us. I don't think the righteousness of Christ is imparted to us, but it's imputed to us. It's charged to our account. And we're regarded by God as righteous as He is. Anyhow, it says, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew and the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, it written, the just shall live by faith. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Well, I'll quit. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. The apostle here in this chapter sets forth his determination to do that which God hath commanded him, to be a witness, to be a light unto the Gentiles of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And he makes that known here. Let me began reading in verse 24. After he has spoken about some of his trials and tribulations, he says, "But none of these things moved me. He said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. None of these things moved me. As spent so many nights in the deep, out in the waters, not knowing whether he'd live or die, being stoned and whipped and persecuted in every manner. But none of these things moved me, Paul said. That is, got me off of the course. It turned me in another direction. None of these things moved me. And he said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. My life is not that precious as far as I'm concerned. So that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's business, he believed, was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And he would not permit anything to interfere with him fulfilling this commission that God had given. And it wasn't just a thing that he did without feeling. It was because he was like the blind man who was blind from birth. Poor Bartimaeus. He was like him. He was blind and couldn't see. But he was on the road to Damascus one time with letters in his hand, names of certain people of the way. And he was going to incarcerate him and put him in jail and kill him if he could. He had authority from the high priest to do so. But God interfered and revealed unto him who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And from that time until the time Paul departed from this world, his only objective in this life was to preach the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news that God saves sinners by and through the doing and the dying of his beloved Son. And that captivated him so that he become a bond slave, a willing bond slave to God in Christ. And he would not let any stone be unturned, would hinder him from preaching. And he said, and now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Paul knew that the sentence of death was written upon him, and he's about to make another perilous journey, and he just had that admonition that in himself that these people who loved him and people who he loved wouldn't see his face anymore. Therefore, I take you to record this day. I call your attention to this, that I'm pure from the blood of all men. I'm pure from their blood. And this will give you some indication of Paul's idea of his responsibility and the task that our Lord gave him to do, which was to preach the gospel. And he wouldn't be entangled with nothing else. This was first and foremost in his mind and his heart and in his soul. But he had to preach this gospel. And he didn't have a building like we have a building that he came to certain appointed times of the week, 3 or 4 or 5 times a week, where people gathered and he preached. But he in the introducing of Christianity to this pagan heathen society, this world, he went from house to house, city to city, from person to person. And wherever he could get an audience, wherever he could get someone to stand still and hear him, his main conversation was not about the weather. It was not about a man's occupation or how many children he had. But it had to do with a man's soul. And Paul knew that no man would ever see God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing him. And so he was determined. He was determined to preach the gospel to everyone that he come in contact with. And he said, I've did that. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Therefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. I did what I was commanded to do. I preached the gospel. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, all of it. All the counsel of God's the gospel of God. So he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now the servants of God, you and I, we're all equally servants. We're all teachers of God, and to a degree, all of us are preachers of God. And so when I say the servants of God, I just don't mean public preachers. I mean all of us who lay claim to God in Christ. We're servants of God. And the servants of God should declare not only God's love, but also his hatred of sin. Not only his grace to those who repent and believe the gospel, but also his wrath upon those who do not believe the gospel. And that's what's involved in the statement that Paul made. I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the gospel or the whole counsel of God. The salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is to be declared, our responsibility to do it, but also his wrath upon men who do not believe. We're to preach that the that God is sovereign in all things. And along with preaching the sovereignty of God, we're to preach the responsibility of all men. We're to preach not only that salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, so that none can boast, but also whosoever will, let him come to me and take the water of life freely. Now, over in the book of Mark, chapter 16, I believe, and verse 15. It says this. Now he's speaking to the 11 here, which were the nucleus of his church. He said there in Matthew, he said, whom do men say that I am? And some say, well, some say you're a prophet. Some say other things. He said, Peter, whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Our Lord said he would build his church. He said, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, and upon this, he said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And here in the 16th chapter, he's talking to this group, these disciples, the nucleus of his church. These 11 or 12, however, these 11, it says, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, and they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. And because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen, he said unto them, go ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye unto the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I read to you here at the outset from Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where it says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, it seems like that they are some, and most people, not just some, but most people, let's put it that way. It seems like most are puzzled as to why the gospel should be preached to all men if God has a predestinated plan for all men. That's puzzling to most people. In light of the command and the commission to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, most people are mixed up and puzzled as to why the gospel should be preached to all men if God has a predetermined plan regarding all men. Well, first off, let me say that we, you and I, are not to be concerned, we are not to concern ourselves with the secret counsel of God But we are to concern ourselves only with the revealed will of God. And the revealed will of God to you and I, and to all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the revealed will of God. Now God has a secret will known only unto himself. And we're not to be concerned about that. Now man is held responsible only for what God has revealed to him. But at the same time, God has a secret will which only he himself knows. Even an avowed atheist will admit that a supreme being must or would know all things. God does know all things. And I'll tell you why. Because he has planned all things and has determined all things. So he knows all things. He knows who will be saved and who won't be saved. And all of that is included in his secret will. For reasons known only unto himself. And should not concern us at the least. That's none of our business. His secret will. Well, it's God's will that man should preach repentance and remission of sins to all creatures. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. So, if we're to be faithful to our God, we must preach repentance and remissions of sin to all creatures. As for those who will believe, that's left up to God. And that's included in his secret will. We don't know, I don't know, who will and who won't. I know after a man believes, I know then that his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They came to the Lord Jesus, the disciples, one time, and they said, well, we've got power over sickness. We've been able to cast out devils. Got this power. And he said, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what you're to rejoice in. Some people say, well, you oughtn't to preach election. Our Lord, in referring to the doctrine of election, said, you rejoice over the fact that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever was. As for those who will believe, I don't know who they are, but that's all left up to God, and it's included in his secret will. Let me read something to you here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, the book of Ezekiel. God spoke to Ezekiel here. And he told him, he said, Son of man, verse 1, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And Ezekiel said, the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day, even unto this very day. These people that were not a people, this nation that was not a nation, they've rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. And they are impudent children, hard of face and hard of heart. They are stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Their briars and thorns be with thee. And thou doest dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words. Be not dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. They are most rebellious. Now God knows whether they would hear or whether they'd forbear. That's all in the secret will of God. But this in no way changed or altered the responsibility of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was to speak the words that God commanded him to speak. And whether they would hear the words or they wouldn't hear the words did not alter Ezekiel's responsibility. He went on and preached the word. Over here in the book of John chapter 21 is another scripture that I'd like to read. John chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. And Peter seeing him, that is, Peter seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, leaning on his breast. Peter seeing him saith unto Jesus, And what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry, in other words, if I will that he live, till I come, what is that to thee? That's none of your business, is what he's telling Peter. That's none of your business. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that unto thee? It was none of Peter's business what the Lord's will was for John. Peter was simply to carry out the commission given to him and leave the rest according to God's secret will. After preaching the truth of divine sovereignty and election in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul had to say this, according to the purpose of God. Paul said in chapter 9 of the book of Romans and verse 19. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction? In other words, Paul says, what concern is it to you if God has elected some and has passed over some? What business is that of yours? He says he hardeneth some and he quickens some. He has mercy on some and he passes by some. So if God has been pleased to call some and pass by others, our responsibility then is to proclaim his grace unto every soul that God grants us audience to. Our responsibility unto God is to preach unto every soul that we have access to with much confidence that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is the supreme business of his people, of his servants, of you and I, to preach the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his offices, prophet, priest, and king. He's to be preached as the Son of Man, who suffered for them that believe. We're to preach him as bearing our sins. We're to preach him as the Son of God, who is able to save all them that come to God by him. We are to make known to the people that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Look over here with me in this 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. Listen to what this says. Verse 30. 17 and verse 30. It says, and the times of this ignorance, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now, when is now, now's now, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We got to, in doing this, we got to proclaim the impossibility of any man keeping God's law. The law of God must be kept, because the law demands complete, perfect, perpetual obedience in word, in thought, and deed. We got to preach that to all men, and we also got to preach man's inability to keep that law and tell them that it only deepens their guilt and their shame. It should be made clear by all of us, as we witness from time to time, that the demands of the law must be satisfied either in the person of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer substitute, or at the eternal expense of the believer himself. We must make that. His servants must make an attempt to show and cause his hearers to hear their need of a Savior, which then brings out the fact that he must tell them of their depravity, of their need, because they are depraved. You know that no man who thinks himself well will go to the doctor to be cured. And no man who thinks he is safe will call upon the Lord for mercy if he thinks he's safe. So we must be about our Father's business and tell them the truth about themselves. So we need constantly, perpetually, to preach repentance and faith are imperative to the salvation of a sinner. That God demands both. He demands repentance and he demands faith. And they are both God's gifts. No man can truly repent except God grants him repentance. No man can really believe except God gives him faith. How can the sinner, whose very nature is to sin, turn from his wicked ways? Can a leopard change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his color? No. The sinner has a heart of stone, and he needs a heart of flesh. Whoever heard of a heart patient giving himself a transplant? Not only is man unable to repent, but he's also unable to believe savingly. Faith is the gift of God, and natural men do not possess it. The individual who possesses faith has it because he's the recipient of this gift of faith. It's because of God's sovereignty that he's given him faith to believe. And when he gives it to him, repentance and faith, he believes, and his life is changed and is being brought into conformity to the will of God. And that faith and repentance is seen in his life, changes in his life. He goes from one direction to another direction. Paul speaks of many times in his letters of, he thanks God for their faith, which is seen of other men, seen in the change of their lifestyle and in their good works. Now in Ephesians, I'll read this and they'll quit. Ephesians chapter 3, I think it is. Ephesians chapter 2. I thought that's where it was. Maybe it's not. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Yeah, that's what I want. And being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. And then there's another place here where it says that these sinners who were dead in trespasses and in sins, prior to them being quickened, it says that they were far off from God. That is, they're an awful distance from God. Every man, woman, and child that has not been quickened by the Spirit of God, hath not received a heart of flesh, that hath not been granted repentance and faith, by nature, he's at an awful distance from God. That awful distance means as far as possible from God. He's as far off from God as it is possible to be far off from God. Why? Because he's so far off from original righteousness. And naturally, by nature, that man has no desire whatsoever to draw nigh unto God. Because Satan has possession of him, he rules in him and reigns over him, and that power must be broke. It's only by faith, then, that we are brought nigh unto God and reconciled unto God through his blood, through his merit, through his righteousness. So these are things that we are commissioned to tell. And these are things that we are to be a witness of as we enjoy the salvation of God, and as we are moved by the Spirit of God to be able to tell this story from time to time and place to place. We got this heavy, heavy responsibility, burden upon us. Not just me, but you as well. to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell them the truth about who God is. Tell them the truth about who Christ is. Tell them the truth about who you are and who they are. And tell them the good news that Christ died for these poor, wandering, hopeless, helpless, doomed, damned sinners that if they'll believe, if they'll trust Him, if they'll come to Him. That's the good news. Well, the Lord bless us, keep us, and bring us back this evening for a few minutes. We'll read from the Scriptures and trust that it'll be a help to us, be profitable. God will be glorified. We'll be comforted. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.